Very warm greetings in the very blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is truly a blessing that we can come and worship, receive His word in this way. Let us turn our Bibles once again to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. Now in life, as we live on earth, we are sinners saved by grace. And as sinners, we will trespass against God's laws. And as we have learned this morning, there is a penalty. As we have learned in the past weeks, God says blessings for obedience, cursings for disobedience. There are always consequences. For the unbeliever, the consequence is eternity in hell. For the believer, don't think that there are no consequences. There are still consequences. So, because we are sinners saved by grace, we will always face that in life. Because we will continue to fall, make mistakes, sin against God. Not that we should do that intentionally and just say, I'm weak and therefore I will continue sinning. No. But in times of weakness, in times of fear, in times of ignorance, we can fall into sin. And consequences can occur. The title for this morning's message is Living with the Consequences. The Christian, therefore, knowing that we will still fall, must know how to live with the consequences that come. We must know that if we fail, there will be worse consequences. But knowing how to respond when we face those situations will help us to be better, will help us to avoid more consequences. The children of Israel here, as we have read in our scripture reading, now have to face up to the decisions, the choices that they have made. The princes, Joshua himself included, now have to face the people. The Gideonites, they will be exposed. Know this, my friends. When we think that we have done our very best, whether consciously or unconsciously, to deceive and think that we can get away with it, and we can even get away with it with men. They got away with it from Joshua and the princes. They did get away, but they were still exposed. It will catch up with us. They will also now face the consequences on them. What did the children of Israel have to face now? If you look at Joshua chapter 9. Now, if you look at the people responding in verse 18, and the children of Israel smote them not because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God, and what? And all the congregation murmured against the princes. Now, Joshua and the princes, because of their failure to pray, because of their failure to seek God's counsel, we studied that. Now they must face the people's anger against them. Did they sin on purpose? No. But it was still sin. Were there consequences even though they did not sin on purpose? There were no record that they did this on purpose. But still, things will change. Sometimes after even we sin ignorantly, things can change. Situations can change in our lives. We must be aware of that. How will now the princes respond? Now you imagine in life, you did something wrong, whether consciously, unconsciously, intentionally or not, and then now situations turn against you. How are you going to respond? We will learn how we must respond. How did they respond? Now what about the children, the Gibeonites? When they were exposed, were there consequences? Look at verse 23. Now, therefore, ye are cursed. Ye are cursed. They sin consciously. They deceive consciously. There were consequences where Joshua and the princes tells them. Joshua tells them, now therefore, verse 23, you are cursed, and none of you would be freed from being bondmen. Now you will be permanent slaves. And we will see that for future generations after generations after generations, they remain as slaves to the children of Israel. The consequences were far-reaching. Things changed permanently for the Gideonites. How should they face it? Consequences will arise, I've said many times. Don't be mistaken. No matter how we think that we got away with it, it will catch up. God says your sin will find you out. Now, when we come to this passage, many see it as keeping your vows, right? Keeping your vows. In verse 17, they came to the city and then they found out, right? They found out that they have been deceived. And verse 18, and the children of Israel smote them not because the princes of the congregation sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. They made a vow to them. They entered into a treaty, a covenant. In covenant, a vow is taken. There are promises made. So many take this as a passage to learn about keeping covenants. It is true. Now, whether we have been deceived, whether we entered into a covenant with someone and found that we are already committed in the covenant, we must still keep it. That is very important. We studied that in the Westminster Confession of Faith in great detail. Please refer to those videos on our YouTube for more details on this. But one thing is for sure, they vowed, and especially they vowed in the name of the Lord, they now cannot break that vow. Is this correct or not? They were deceived. Now, by all records in the Bible, God expected them to keep the vow. The princes were correct. In fact, we will see later on what happened when they broke the vow. You will see. God dealt with the children of Israel. So the fact that God would deal with the children of Israel when they broke the vow with the Gibeonites tells us that God expected them to keep this covenant. So as Christians, when we want to make covenants, when we enter into promises, contracts, we better be very, very careful. God will hold us to it. They were making this contract even with unbelievers, at that point at least, the Gibeonites. But yet God expected them to keep it. Do not enter into contracts, commitments, whether verbal. The Christian's word must always be his bond. Because God is a covenant-keeping God. We studied that again and again in the recent months in different Bible studies. God is a covenant-keeping God. He proved it to Israel again and again. Therefore, if we are God's people, we must be covenant-keeping people, even with unbelievers. If you cannot meet the commitments, do not enter into a covenant, because God will still hold you responsible. So be very careful. If you do not intend to keep commitments that you agreed to, do not commit. Let your yea be yea and nay be nay. If you say yes, whether you like it or not, whether you agree to it or not, you are expected to keep it. Now, these were unbelievers. At that point, well, at least we do not know if they're fully believers. Maybe some of them were. But they were Gideonites, that's for sure. The Christian must not take vows lightly, covenants lightly. We answered some of these questions in teens Q&A. You sign a job contract. Make sure you keep it. Don't enter it with the intention to break it. I shared, a friend of mine, a Christian, took another job while waiting for a job that he preferred, but let me just have this bird in my hand first. He just took it, but with the intention to break it. When the other job offer came, he just broke his contract where he was sent for training. The company spent a lot of money on him, but he just kept quiet. It is wrong. You will eventually face consequences, which we'll see afterwards. If you do not intend to keep commitments, whether it is at work, whether it is school, whether it is in your family, whether it is with friends, whether it is in church, do not. Now, God takes this very, very seriously. He says in Deuteronomy is God giving them the laws on how to live when they enter the land. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, 21 to 22, now God says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it will be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. Especially when you vow before God. They took the vow in the name of God. They vowed before God. And if it's worse, it's even worse when you did a vow to God. He takes it very seriously. God says, if you shall forbear to vow, it shall be no sin to you. My friends, why do we like to take vow? I swear. Be very careful before the Lord. Better not to vow. But God says it is sin, and God will surely require of you. Have you made commitments to the Lord? We take many vows. Well, I won't say many, but there are vows. In baptism, we took vows before men, before God, to God. Have you kept your baptismal vows? Infant baptism, we have many recently in the recent years. Have you, as parents, kept your vow? God says you vow, I will surely require it. If you break it, it will be sin to you. Sin, as we studied this morning, always have consequences. If you don't face it, it's God's mercy. But don't pre-assume that there will be no consequences. We take marriage vows. Have you been keeping your marriage vows? Young couples, seniors, have you? The vow is not dependent on whether the other person fulfills it or not in marriage. God did not say, submit to a loving husband. God simply says, submit to your husband in all things. There was no adjective in describing what kind of husband. The wife vowed at marriage. Same for the husband. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. God did not say, love your submissive wife. Have you been fulfilling that every year, at old age? Sometimes you say, we're old already, you know. But God still holds you to the vow. In fact, God held the children of Israel to this vow for at least 200 years. We will see afterwards what happened 200 years later. For at least 200 years, God expected the vow to be fulfilled. Please don't think that I took my baptismal vow, now I'm an adult, or I've took my marriage vow, now I'm old already. I don't think about all these things. No, God holds it till the day you die. Then the vow is broken. So my friends, we must be covenant-keeping people because that is our God. I know what you're thinking. What about vows that are sinful, like we studied in the Westminster Confession? Now, if a vow is a sinful vow, God does not require us to keep it. In the book of Leviticus, God specifies there are ways also, even in certain vows, to how you can actually get out of the vow. So, for example, remember Jephthah. Jephthah vowed to offer his daughter, or the first living thing that came out of his house, offer the first living thing that came out of his house, which was the daughter. Now, we believe it was a human sacrifice. That was what he was committing. He thought an animal would come out. So, this living thing is my daughter. and he sacrificed the daughter. There was no necessity. In the book of Leviticus, as we've known, God provided ways to redeem in those situations. You could pay. So in certain situations where the vows should not be kept because it's a sinful vow, a rash vow, there are ways. There are ways God allows. But please don't take that in every case. Marriage vow, God says death is the only thing that breaks that vow, that covenant. Nothing else. So please don't take this as, oh, all right, great. Pastor said we should never break any vow. Then you took a job that requires you to break the Sabbath constantly. Say, oh, I signed a contract, you know. Friends, Christians, I signed a contract, so I must keep it. When the vow is a sinful vow, then you should not keep it. But there are still consequences, so don't think that, oh, just nothing. Whatever the consequences are, you bear it. You bear it. So enter into vows very carefully. That is the point. Very, very carefully. Now, but what happens, my friends, when we take vows? Membership vow. There are membership vows as well. Many of us don't even think about it. What are our duties? What we promise not to do. But today, people still break those vows. There are people that continue to cause trouble in church, although they vowed not to. Continue to try to bring erroneous doctrines into the church, although they vowed not to. Now, if you vow not to disturb the peace of the church, and you invite people to your house, and you turn them against the church, please don't think that God does not hear. When you make vows and commitments, Sunday school teachers, others who serve, over time, you sign the commitment forms to commit to certain things as you serve in church, in the different ministries. These are serious ministries. Not just Sunday school, any other ministries that we have made clear that because of the nature of the work, you have to make certain commitments and agreements and vow that you will keep them, because it's crucial to the church. It's crucial to the people that you interact with. Do you keep them? Don't take it lightly. You promise to prepare your Sunday school materials well, to prepare your lessons well, to feed the children of God, and you just wing it. Don't take that lightly. If you don't intend to keep any commitment, then do not. Do not. Now, I appreciate some of those. They, in their heart, knew that, look, this is something that I either cannot keep, maybe for the time being, for whatever reasons, or I still struggle with and I don't want to keep because I don't fully understand or fully agree. They step down. They turn down roles that they feel that they cannot continue in clear conscience. It is better that way than to take a vow and to take an agreement. So, yes, it is about keeping covenant. That's for sure. But remember this. This situation that the children of Israel got themselves into was the result of failures, result of sin. And because of their failure to seek God's counsel, they now ended up with meeting consequences. How should they deal with it? Let us learn. What is the best way? Now, maybe I put it the other way. What is worse than sinning? Now, please don't misunderstand me. Sinning is infinitely terrible. But what is worse than sinning is to sin, and then when God brings the consequences, when the consequences are what we got ourselves into because of our commitment, our vows, what is worse is when we refuse to live with those consequences. That will be worse. In other words, the Christian must learn. Now, if I, because of my failure, have now entered into this, then let me humbly accept it. The more you and I fight against it, we will see it becomes worse. Worse than the fact that we have sinned. We compound the consequences. What is the best way to accept and live with these consequences which we will face in life? Well, try to get 3 A's in your behavior. A, all right? A's are good, right? The triple A's of living with consequences. Let us learn from this passage. Now, first A, admit to it. Admit that we have sinned. Admit that we have now brought ourselves into this situation which we know will bring certain consequences because we have been told. Like, look at verse 18. Now, all the congregation murmured against the princes. How are the princes now going to respond? You know, you made a mistake. Whether you're deceived or genuine, you made a mistake. Trouble starts. How did they respond? Look at verse 19. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. They simply admitted, it's our fault. Now I want you to notice, it says all the princes, all of them, every single one of them. God did not say the princes, but all. Very clear. Every single one of them just admitted, our fault. We are the one who swore to them. You are angry. We know. We should not have done that. We know now. There was no... Remember we learned about this deception, deceive. There was no diverting. There was no trying to reenact things. They simply said, we are the one who swore. Now be ready to admit. A person who, when have made a mistake and now consequences arise, someone who is wise will not spend time trying to deflect, intermingle truth and lies, give excuses. They, of all the people, the princes, really had many, I would say, good reasons to say, come on, guys. You know, if you were us, you would have made the same thing. Look at the things that they devised. It's so convincing. They simply said, we have sworn. The whole situation arise because we have sworn. They did not put many, many smoke screens. Today we are learning good things, all right? Last week, deception, all the bad things to do. Today we are going to learn the good things that people do. Just simply say it. They had many, many good excuses. But they knew that whatever they said, it still boils down to the real fact is we did not seek God. The real fact is we did this. We did this. That is it. They knew they were responsible as leaders. The fault lied with them. My friends, when we, in marriage, we know we have sinned against our spouse. There may be even reasons, like this case, truly deceived. But just go to the bottom line. I am at fault. At work, it's the same. When you have committed an error, whether intentional, not intentional, the best policy for the Christian is simply to say, my fault. Husband, ready to say my fault? These were the leaders. Say, my fault. Mothers, parents, when you are wrong, ready to say, daddy and mommy's fault. Children, the same. Don't keep it, daddy and mommy must say it's your fault. It's your fault, just say it. Daddy, mommy, I did it. It's my fault. At work. Now, I've witnessed, as I've shared before, many situations where I had to deal with employees. We entered into a room with them, knowing what they have done, knowing what they've broken in terms of company rules. We go into a room ready to forgive. We go into a room ready to deal with it graciously. But when the employee refused to admit, and even when they admit, they make it look like it's not our fault. You know, they could, the leaders could say many things. Come on, guys, we cut a good deal for you, right? Now you have slaves, you know. We cut a good deal for you. When the employer began to turn it around, that is when, as management, we will always say that's enough. Because this person cannot be trusted anymore. Some things change, my friend. Some things will change. When we don't accept consequences and admit, young ones, children, when you're always like that, you will soon lose the trust of your parents. Things will change. The next time you say, I swear, daddy, mommy, I swear. They will say, I know you've sworn many times. Or to spouse also. Oh, no, no, no. Ah, darling, no, no, it's not like that. Trust is lost. And it takes a lot more to win it back. Now the children of Israel, the leaders could make many excuses. What is one of the barriers to living with the consequences of simply admitting? Even though there were many reasons, but the bottom line is, yes, I did it. Yes, I broke what is the trust between us. I did it. What is the great barrier? The great barrier often is pride. I don't want to look like I've made a mistake. Yes, it's a mistake, but you know, it's because of all the things that they did. It is true. Pride. I don't want to look bad. That is why we make excuses. The leaders, all the leaders, admitted we swore. Very often as leaders in the company, in church, at home, we keep feeling, I cannot make mistakes. I should not make mistakes. I'm leader. So we cover up so that we look like good leaders. A good leader, learn from here. When they make mistakes, they simply say, yes, we made the mistakes. But it doesn't mean you don't make right. If you have not been keeping your marriage vow, admit. If you don't, you will compound consequences. You have not been the father, the husband that you ought to be. Don't give all the excuses. Yes, my wife is a difficult wife. Yes, my husband is an unloving husband. There are real so-called reasons for you not to fulfill your vows. But today, just admit, I did not fulfill my part. That's it. And make right. Make right. What do we learn by that? The next A. So the first, admission, very important. You don't start there. You do not get to the next few steps. You don't start there, it gets worse. I want to say one thing before we leave this part. It is, in your heart and mind, remember this scene. They had many, many good reasons to say many things, but they just cut to the chase. I did swear to them. That's it. And all the leaders did not try to point fingers at one another. They say, we all did it. That's it. Now, the next thing we need to learn, the next A, is to accept the consequences. To accept. After you have agreed, after you have admitted. Now, when we admit, we are admitting that, yes, I've done it, and there are consequences. admit, and then accept. The people were angry. Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Beg your pardon. What about the Gideonites? All right. What about the Gideonites? What about the A for the Gideonites? Did they admit? Now, this time, look at verse 24. Sorry, we need to keep at the A. Learn from the Gideonites. The good things, all right? The good things. Now, when Joshua exposed them in verse 23, how did the Gideonites answer this time? Verse 24. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were so afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. Just one long statement. One statement. That is it. The last time, what is the behavior of the Gibeonites up to now? They will plot and scheme. They would create things to try and deceive. And when they meet the children of Israel, they continue to lie and lie and lie and to divert and to enact situation, turn on their charm, be evasive, intermingle truth with lies, give so-called valid excuses. They did all this. That was them. But notice the huge change that we should learn from this time. A person that faced the consequences, they simply now told the truth. Before that was, oh, you know, we want to be your servant. But now they said, we don't want to die. We don't want to die. That's it. No more deception. They quickly admitted. These are very good behaviors. Whoever you are, let this be the common trait in us. I'm very appreciative of some of you who serve in church. When you make a mistake, sometimes I write to you. Sometimes when I'm busy, I may just be sending out a lot of emails and texts. It is not my intention to be rough with you, but sometimes it may not sound quite right, came across. But of course, if you're proven always, again, deceptive, we will be very firm. And sometimes I really appreciate some of you. You will just openly say, oh, Pastor, it's totally my fault. I forgot this. I didn't do this. And sometimes I know that in the background, there are many things that caused it. But there are those who will just simply say, oh, Pastor, my fault. You know, I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. That's it. It's a good sign. You accept the consequences and you accept that this don't make me look so good. You just accept it and admit. You don't try to make up. Now the Gibeonites, they just say, we were afraid to die and have done this thing. Now, would they have been spared? What do you think? Would they have been spared if they told it right from the beginning and not have to face these consequences of being cursed as bond slaves forever? Would they have been spared? Well, you know, in the case of Rahab simply said, I don't want to die. God, your God, the powerful God gave you this land, we will surely die. So please make a vow with me that you will not kill me. That's it. She was honest about it. Rahab had a good position. She then became one of the four, in the lineage of where Christ will be born into. Not cursed. Someone who just simply says the truth. Learn that. Now I remember, maybe I've shared this before, I entered even into a customer's environment where we were accused of bringing their system down. But it was actually an engineer. He, whom we knew for a long time, he was the one who made an error, but he covered up his error. And finally, it was exposed. We had to go to the meeting. It was a very unpleasant meeting. And I will never forget the words of the manager there. He said, you know, we all make mistakes. You just needed to have said it's your fault. You made the mistake. We could have quickly corrected it and the system would not have been down for so long and the bank would not have suffered so much inconveniences to the public. You simply needed to say, we were fully moved on. We all make mistakes. Why did you not admit? It became worse and he was fired. Best policy, AAA policy, admission. Now next, the A of acceptance. Acceptance. Look at verse 19. Now therefore we may not touch them. They accepted the consequences. The children, the leaders, they accepted it. We can touch them now. They did not try to say, oh, we made a mistake, let's kill them now. If they did, it will be worse, as you'll see later. Now, what about the Gideonites as well? Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. Now, in verse 24, not only did they not practice that evade, and intermingle truth with error, they simply admitted. Did they accept? Verse 25. And now, behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee, do unto us. Do. Double do. Just do. Just do unto us. This was acceptance of their curse, of their fate. Now you have to realize one thing. They were cursed to be bond slaves from now onwards. You say, okay, what's the big deal? Do you know who the Gideonites were? Look at chapter 10. Look at chapter 10. Now, when Gideonites became part of the treaty with Israelites, and the other nations found out, hey, these turncoats, they now work with Israel. What was the response of the other nations? Look at chapter 10, verse 2. And they, these other nations, when they heard that Gideonites are with Israelites now, they feared greatly. Not just feared, afraid greatly. Because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. All the men in Gideon, the Gideonites were all mighty. From royal city, great people. What's the point? You know, for these men, they were not Tom, Dick, and Harry's nobody, small city like Ai. The other nations feared because they were renowned people. In other words, they were people of great position among even the other nations. They were people like royalties, and they were very capable. They were great warriors. That's why they were afraid of them. They were people of great achievements. It is like telling a CEO, all right, CEO, from now onwards, you will be slave in this company. You will be right down at the bottom to do what? To wash toilets. They were great men that now will just simply hew wood and carry water. The lowest of the lowest task among slaves. They were given that. That was their curse. Did they fight? They accepted it. How do we know they accepted it? Verse 25. We are in your hands. You know, for people of that stature to say, we are in your hands, means you have total right over me now. Whatever you want to do to me, whatever it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. That's it. Some things may change when we constantly rebel. Whether consciously or unconsciously, did it consciously or unconsciously, sometimes some things will change permanently. Learn to accept the consequences. When you continue to fight, it will become worse because those are the consequences that come out of you making a vow. You vow, I will be like that, I will do this, I will not do that. You vow. Now you keep it. If you don't, more cursings come. What was the good that came out of this very wonderful example of the Gideonites? Great men that could resist, they kept it for hundreds of years. generations after generations after generations, even King David's time, King Saul's time, they were still hewers of wood, carrier of water. And they did it humbly, accepting this is what we deserve. And they were used to serve the temple. That privilege. Sometimes some things may change in our life. You lied at work, then you get demoted. Accept the consequence. Don't go fight it. You have made a mistake. Accept whatever comes. Don't keep rationalizing and don't keep going round to turn people against the company, against your manager, against people or in church. You are put through discipline and start to go around and turn people against the church. You simply accept. And when you do, like the Gibeonites, for hundreds of years, they had the privilege. Yes, they accept my role now, from great people to this. But when we keep it, they were so blessed. In fact, they were protected by God. Their acceptance of their role was a great significance. We will see that in future week. Because in chapter 10, when the people say, we want to go attack the Gibeonites now, these turncoats, they should lead, they should make treaty with us. We'll attack them. What happened? They called for the children of Israel, please help us. And Joshua led the armies there to help them. And God delivered them with a mighty deliverance, which we'll study. You see, when you just accept, instead of fighting, I got demoted. Now I'm just doing this in church. Or now I'm just nothing. But you're still doing something. Accept it. God will use you. God will even continue to bless. But accept that things have changed. Did the children of Israel accept? You look at verse... Now, they murmured. The leaders just say, our fault. We saw. No more long story. Same for the Gibeonites. Did the people go around refusing to accept the admission? Now, when Joshua went to rescue these people, look at chapter 10, verse 6. The Gideonites asked the children of Israel to help. Look at verse 7. Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. All. What is he saying? They accepted the consequences. Now we have to live with these Gideonites. We even have to help them, but all of them went with Joshua. Don't go around refusing to accept. Don't go around bad-mouthing daddy, mothers. No, daddy is always like that. Don't go around bad-mouthing my mommy is always like that. To win them over to your side. Accept, bear it. Same at work. Don't go around blaming, and now causing problem. No, they just say, all right, this has happened. These are the consequences. We go to war with you. Don't fight in your company to try and regain those positions that you have lost because of your own sin. Same in church, same at home. Now, accept. Then next, accept that things may change permanently. Next, agree. Agree to keep your vows. Did they agree? Now, look at verse 20, chapter 9, verse 20. Because of the oath which we swear unto them, we will have to let them live. Let them live, verse 21, let them live. They agreed to keep it. What about the Gibeonites? See, both parties were doing good things. Learn from it. The Gibeonites in verse 27. Verse 26, it said, just do to us. Verse 27, what? And he said, they were hewers of wood and drawers of water, even unto this day. Verse 27, even unto this day. Right up to that time, they continued to just simply accept what was given to them. The agreement, we will be your servants. All right, your servant. Oh, I thought servant means higher roles, you know. This kind of servant. All right, no problem. They accepted the agreement. They stayed with it for hundreds of years. They did not, as far as records is concerned, they did not cause any problem in Israel. They continue in this role. Now, sometimes we will admit, sometimes we will even say, well, I have no choice, I have to accept it, right? But we do it grudgingly. And we find ways to get out of the situation. Don't be people like that. They just lived with it. They kept the agreement. Are there consequences of not living with consequences? Are there? Yes. Does God expect us to keep our oath, even for hundreds of years? Yes. If we don't, will the consequences be far-reaching? Yes. How do we know? This case is a good example. Those of you who attend Husband's Fellowship, you remember. Men's Fellowship, you remember. Israel, in 2 Samuel, chapter 21, it was said that there was a famine in the days of David 3 years. So this is David's time. Over 200 years later. 3 years of famine, and the Bible says year after year, just won't stop. And Israel was confused. What is happening? What did David do? David inquired of the Lord. They knew, it's nothing that we have done, right? As far as we know, we have not sinned against God. Lord, why is this happening year after year? What is this consequence about? And the Lord answered, for it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew Gibeonites. Saul, the Bible tells us, now for the zeal of the people, he just wants to please the people. Oh, you know, maybe these people's history, they deceive us. You don't like it, right? Let me kill them for you. Joshua didn't kill them. I will kill them. And he killed them. God says it's because hundreds of years later, Saul broke the covenant of Israel with them. God is a covenant-keeping God. God expected them to keep it. And therefore, this famine. And then, what did the Gideonites say? So David went to the Gideonites and said, God told us that we broke the covenant. What do you want? What shall I do for you? Wherewith shall we make the atonement? Now he wants to accept the consequences, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord. And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver or gold of Saul. Don't give us money, nor of his house. Don't give us his property. Neither for us shall thou kill any man in Israel. Israel is nothing to do with you. But he say, give us the sons of Saul. The sons of Saul will definitely have been involved. Saul dragged his children in the killing. Now, when we don't accept consequences, we will drag and we will cause many other people to be dragged into our sin. Remember that. You don't want to accept. Your family will get involved, whether you like it or not. And then because you don't agree, you try to cover up still. Your family also get dragged into it. What's going to happen next? Sin will compound. Because now you say, well, my family got dragged into it. What can I do? Continue in it. Instead of just admitting, accepting whatever consequences will come out of it, now it gets worse. You will drag in others, even your loved ones. Same for Achan. Achan was given many times to confess. He would not. Because of his sin, he dragged in his family. And the family was also stoned. Here, until David gave the children up to the Gibeonites, they hanged them, and then the Bible tells us that the plague stopped. God expects us to keep covenant, to keep the agreements that we made, even if those agreements are not good for us, the consequences are not good for us. It's better to sin and then keep the consequences than to sin and refuse. Not that sinning is good, huh? So my friends, whether it's at work, at home, whatever vows that you've made, keep them. The Gibeonites were more honorable than Saul. They kept their part all the while. They accepted all the while, and they were protected, used of the Lord, yes, in a different capacity, but they had the privilege to serve the temple still. If the Gibeonites were to break it, what do you think will happen? If God's children broke the covenant and God would deal with them so severely, do you think he would not have dealt with the Gibeonites? The Gibeonites kept it. Learn from the good things. So my friends, consequences will occur. Learn this triple A of response. You're afraid of the consequences. You're afraid your faith may fail you. Just trust in the Lord. By faith, he will help you. Let us rise to sing the closing hymn. 359, my faith looks up to thee.